Aim and Home Security. Get ADT's tested, trusted, and proven security and service. Now at a great value. Don't wait. Call today. ADT. Always there. Now everywhere. Requires 36-month monitoring contract. Early termination, taxes, and install fees apply. Certain markets excluded. See terms and pricing at ADT.com.
An expert says a spike in gas prices may be coming to an end, as USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
Continuing an upward trend that started earlier this spring, the national average price per gallon of regular up by 9 cents in a week to $2.85, the highest level since June 2015, according to Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.
In the situation with China, trade tensions, situation in Syria, all of these geopolitical events do add to what we pay at the pump.
DeHaan, speaking on NBC's Today Show, saying the current average price is 37 cents higher than it was a year ago, but he says the shift to higher cost summer grade gas is almost complete, and he doesn't expect the average to hit $3 anytime soon.
Details are limited at this time, but we're hearing that an F-16 based out of Luke Air Force Base crashed near Lake Havasu, Arizona. It was attempting to make a landing at the Lake Havasu Airport, but could not do so. The pilot ejected and is okay. This is USA Radio News.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything.
866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. That's 866-490-3991.
Earlier today, President Donald Trump welcomed French President Emmanuel Macron to the White House. Let's take a listen to a portion of those comments.
This morning, we all send our prayers to the Bush family as we wish former President George H.W. Bush a very speedy recovery. I also want to express our deepest sympathies to the Canadian people following the horrendous tragedy in Toronto that claimed so many innocent lives. Our hearts are with the grieving families in Canada. Your visit, Mr. President, comes at a critical time for our alliance. Along with our British friends, the United States and France recently took decisive action in response to the Syrian regime's use of chemical weapons. I want to personally thank President Macron, the French military, and the French people for their steadfast partnership. They were absolutely incredible. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
And finally, a new poll out says social media is a daily way of life for many Americans. Now, nearly half of Americans who use the Internet say they use Facebook at least several times a day, making it easily the most popular social media site. A new poll from the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research finds that 12% of Americans who are online use Facebook almost constantly, while 34% use it several times a day. For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
Hey, it's Joe Peters coming to you with Real Estate Matters. I've got Mark Salek with me today. Say hello, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, we're going to go to a quick weather forecast and a few commercials. We'll be right back.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunter In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
So once again, they've asked me to give you the weather forecast from the official Android weather service. It is 64 degrees, and it's going to start raining tonight. Actually, look like we're almost there on the way in. It's going to get 50 overnight. That's good news. 60 tomorrow, rain all day, 40 overnight, and then a nice day on Thursday, 64. Friday, 60. A little bit of rain again. Saturday, 68. Back to summer. I think it's over. You know, one or two more snowstorms, we should be out of this. So today is the 24th, if I got my calendar correct, of April, and I'm sitting here with Mark Salek, and we are going to play a few of our paid commercials and be right back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
So once again, it's Joe Peters sitting here with Mark Salek, our economic development director, I guess.
Yes.
And I'm going to play my commercial so you know who I am. I don't have to do a lot of introductions, and we'll be right back to tell you about what's going on in Hunterdon County. It's pretty exciting, so stay in.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication,
probably,
technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So, hey, it's Joe Peters with Mark Salek. I'm going to start by having Mark introduce himself, give us a little about his background, where he went to school, what he's done with his life before he got here to Hunterdon County.
All right. Well, I won't bore everybody too much with that because, as you know, Joe, I probably have been given about 40 presentations a year around the county at this point. So I think there's probably people out there bored hearing about that. But, my name is Mark Salek. And, Joe, thanks for having me on the show today. I'm Hunterdon County's Economic Development Director. And I started on the job just a little over 2 years ago at this point, and moved here from Ohio, Western Ohio, where I was doing economic development work for 7-8 years in throughout the Western Ohio area and Eastern Indiana to some extent as well. Prior to that, I lived in Atlanta for about 12 years, graduate of University of Florida. But before that, I grew up mostly in Philadelphia.
Coming here,
you got it. I haven't been able to say that before an audience this size before, but absolutely every day I've been walking on sunshine ever since the Super Bowl.
It was a good
And I'm 49, so I've been waiting an awful long time for this.
Long time.
So coming to Hunterdon, it's kind of like a homecoming. When I was a little boy in Philadelphia, I know my parents brought me up here. You know, we went to New Hope, and then they brought me over to play in Hunterdon County Parks, et cetera.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, great. Hunterdon's a great place. I know my business is spread evenly across Hunterdon and Somerset County, and I don't think I'm ever going to leave Hunterdon. I just enjoy where we're at. I like being up on 78 in the Clinton area, but there's some other beautiful spots of Hunterdon as well. As a matter of fact, I heard the fellow from Rutgers talk.
Jim Hughes.
Yeah. And he's from Hunterdon County. He's in East
Stanwell.
Yep. And, I mean, he says, you know what, everybody says Mr. Doom and Gloom. He says, we've got to tell you what's happening. And it's interesting. It's concerning. And it's good news and it's bad news all at the same time. The world keeps changing.
Sure.
And Hunterdon County is the furthest out from New York and still be in New Jersey. And as a result, I think we passed the new milestone. We've been losing about 1.5% population each year, but now we've had more deaths last year than births for the first time.
Yeah.
Concerning statistic, but still, every house we put on the market, like we were just talking, sells unless you get up over 650, and then it gets soft a little bit. So the real estate market's interesting. Mark was just telling me before we got started, several of the other people in Planning's house sold last year the day it came on the market.
Yeah.
We're really seeing that. If you're priced moderately in the active price points, the inventory is going immediately. I also work over in Somerset County, and their price point's about 20% higher, and they have a soft spot, somewhere around $1.1 million, $1.2 million they get soft. So they've got a higher-end market, and we all thought the income tax was going to screw things up, but from what I'm reading, the tax, you got to make $400,000 and own $1 million house before those tax laws affect you. And we don't have that many people in that bracket here. We have more in Somerset County. I think the interesting thing is there's a reverse effect going on, which means now that your standard deduction has doubled, the reason to have an income tax deduction on a free or $400,000 house has gone away because you're going to get it anyway. But that we haven't seen take effect yet. So it's an exciting county to be in. So, I mean, your biggest claim to fame, I think, other than all the great companies, was your hackathon next year, and it's coming up again.
Yeah, Hack Hunterdon is back for its second year, and that's our that's basically our annual tech product creation competition.
Okay.
And we didn't event hackathons. But ours is still unique in the sense that where there are hackathons, they normally happen in big cities. And, of course, they're not that old. This is a relatively recent phenomenon.
Right.
But where they do happen in smaller communities, they are driven by universities. So what surprises folks about ours is that it's being driven by the entities that are driving it, and that is the county partnering with the Chamber of Commerce and Flemington Community Partnership. And for a rural community to have those kind of entities and not a school driving a tech product innovation competition is fairly unusual. And so it's gotten us a lot of attention. And essentially the way these work is that it runs for 24 hours. Folks, technologists come from inside Hunterdon and from probably last year within, I guess, about an 80 to 90 mile radius.
Okay.
And some come with ideas for products, some don't. And what happens is the folks with ideas pitch their ideas. They want to build this, they want to build that, a new app that does this, and a new way to do something else, all technology based. And folks join their team. And throughout the 24 hours, they go ahead and build something that is a genuine pitch for, you know, an actual product.
Right.
And they present those ideas at the end of the event to a panel of judges that we have, and we basically award prizes from there. But and that's all fine and good, but you have to think about why we're doing this. So what do we get out of it? First of all, we get exposure to our technology community.
Right.
We also expose technologists to Hunterdon County
right.
and the fact that we're looking to partner in these kind of capacities. So it's a great branding effort too, and it's a great way to get our name out there in association with something that's positive. But we also get to engage our technologists. More importantly, Joe, they get to engage each other. So there's a couple of ideas, including the winning team from last year, who were genuinely marketable ideas. Those teams are still working from last year on their
wow.
products. So what happens if there's the potential that they will turn these will turn into businesses, and that will grow employment opportunities in this area. So you get at one of the things we were trying to establish last year. Not only do we want to identify our technologists, but we want them to work with each other, and we want them to know we'll partner with them.
Okay.
So if you've got someone working out of their house right now that's got the idea for the next Facebook or the next Google,
right.
we don't want them to think they have to move somewhere else to find a team that they can work on their project with
right.
and to find a supportive entrepreneurial atmosphere to grow their idea. So they now know that happens here.
Okay.
And the third piece of that is that as we try to grow this tech initiative and have more of these kind of companies come in and grow here, we're in touch with technologists to help us run those initiatives, as opposed to you and me and a freeholder and a mayor trying to figure out how to attract
right.
tech companies. Now we've got tech people actually doing it. So there's a lot of pieces to the hackathon, but at its core, it really engages us with our tech community and gives them a chance to have their ideas blossom and grow here in Hunterdon County. And it kind of brands us as a community that's looking into those kind of things and is interested in those kind of things along the way. So,
how many people participated last year?
Last year we had 32 participants, so therefore we had 11 teams pitching.
Okay.
And this year we are hoping, and it's hard to say, of course, but we're hoping to have 50 participants. However, got a new wrinkle this year.
Okay.
So this year, we asked early in the process, we asked Hunterdon Central Regional High School to be the host. And so what's happening this year, because they agreed and we're hosting the event there, there is going to be a student hackathon
wow.
alongside the adult hackathon. So this year we'll have high schoolers engage in this effort trying to grow some of their ideas.
Yep.
And it'll be a separate ceremony, but they'll also be pitching their ideas the next morning. Before a group, and we'll award prizes to them too. It's going to be more for the prestige, of course,
right.
for them, and just a chance to participate
right.
in an effort like this. But the nice part of this is now that we've got that balance on both sides. So
okay.
the hackathon is now about current technologists growing their ideas for the future of Hunterdon County, and emerging technologists hopefully learning how to do the same thing later. So we're building the pipeline and feeding the pipeline at the same time as, again, we try to grow an entire innovation culture here in Hunterdon.
So we're excited. Is the computer lab in Central or out of Del Valle?
And the Polytech's IT Academy is at Del Valle.
Okay.
It will be moving to Voorhees, though, in a couple
that.
Years.
Okay.
Yeah. But it is at Del Valle. But the reason, there's a lot of compelling reasons to
right.
have it at Hunterdon Central, but one of the reasons is, don't forget that the third partner in this, along with the Chamber and the county, is Flemington Community Partnership.
Yep.
And so if we were going to involve a school, we want it to be a Flemington-based school.
Great, so. great. And most people don't realize, I didn't until I got into Leadership Hunterdon 2 years ago, that our school, which most people call a vo-tech, is in our high school system. We're the only county in New Jersey that's got the technical school built into the high school system. So you come into high school, you go into your vocational training, but you get all your credits for high school and graduate from high school and then move on.
Yeah.
And with this programs that we have set up, like computers, you could have, or technology, you could complete your first year of Raritan Valley while in high school and only have to go to Raritan Valley for, I think, 1 year and one summer to graduate with a two-year degree. So we've got a lot going on for us, and I've recently been over to RVCC and saw their workforce development. It's an eye-knocker over there.
I've seen that, too. That building, that new workforce
yep.
development center they built, not only is it a great asset for the region, but they were really smart the way they built it. They built it with flex space. They
right.
didn't open it with every space occupied. So the bottom line is they've got the ability to change along with the needs in the area.
Okay.
You know, that's really important. So, you know, there's a quote from Mark Cuban. I think everyone knows who Mark Cuban is. And I've been trying to keep it in mind with the growth of our tech initiative recently, but it applies to anything. And he said, the problem with communities trying to angle to have a tech initiative is that by the time they come, their goals come to fruition, the tech environment has changed so much that their goals become irrelevant.
Right.
You know, and so the fact that they built that space at RVCC to be able to accommodate change and have that flex, that's might be the empty space there, to be honest with you, might be one of the most important features they have, frankly.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Because I know the cosmetology, which isn't high tech, but it's high tech as far as cosmetology. It's a eye popper. I mean, they've got the first floor thing set up for cosmetology like I haven't seen before. But they also have 3D computing. Yeah. They've got welding. They've got apparently welding fits into about 8 things they teach. So it's one of the core subjects they've got. They got their automotive lab there. And they have an open house a couple times a year. If anybody's not seen it, go over to RVCC. You want to see the planetarium anyway. You may want to take in a play while you're over there and take a look at what's happening. What date is this on this year?
June 9th and 10th.
6, 9, and 10, and that's a Saturday, Sunday?
No, just June 9 and 10.
9 and 10.
Yeah, that's a Saturday. Last year we made a mistake, a rookie mistake. We had the hackathon go Friday into Saturday.
Right.
And so what happened was we had a big attrition rate from the folks that registered to, you know, to the amount of folks that showed up, because we think that taking on a 24 challenge was too daunting coming off of a Friday of work.
Right. Right.
So this year we got smarter. You would think it was obvious, but it's one of the things we missed the first year. So this year it's Saturday into Sunday. And so the opening ceremonies are essentially at 3 o'clock on the 9th. Everything will be wrapped by 3 o'clock on Sunday. You know, particularly with the kids, we want them to have the ability to go home and rest and readjust in time for Monday. I do want to add that there's another event that is more generally open for the population, if you have a tech interest, that was spawned from last year's Hack 100 In, and it's the meetup. So there's a Hack 100 In meetup at the last Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing in Flemington. So this month is actually on Thursday of this week.
Yep.
And that group has grown to about 250, 260 folks, might be more at this point. And we probably get any given meetup 30 to 40 showing up at this point.
Okay.
And we have guest speakers come in that tackle a tech topic. Some would go over, some go over people like you and I's head, but even when they do, sometimes they're interesting. Like there was one on Bitcoin recently, you know, and I know you, Joe, you're like me, you're interested in 1,000 different topics. Did I follow everything? No, but it was fascinating nonetheless. And this one, but some of them are more digestible than others, but it's a great chance for anyone remotely related to the tech community in some way that wants to meet others of a like mind, maybe find partners to build their ideas. That kind of synergy is available at this tech meetup. So it's a nice way to capture the momentum that the hackathon has given us and provide more ongoing platforms for these folks to interact and hopefully generate ideas that provide opportunity for our emerging workforce.
Great. So if the public wanted to come out and watch the culmination of this, it's 3 o'clock on Sunday?
Well, we can't open it to the public because there's only so much seating there.
Okay.
So it is an invite-only event, but it doesn't mean that we've decided who every one of those invites is.
Okay.
So if there is someone listening who has an interest, let me say this. There's definitely got to, you know, there's obligatory invites, right? So each one of us have to invite our boards.
Yeah.
You know, we have to have the parents there, some of the kids participating, so on and so forth. So it's hard to know if I would be able to extend an invite to everyone who contacted me, but there'll be excess seating, I'm pretty sure, at the end of all of our obligations. So if somebody is interested, go ahead and call my cell phone, 908-399-1108, and anytime between now and the event, and probably a little bit further down the road is better, just because we'll have a better idea of what kind of access we have, and maybe we'll be able to get some more folk in
there.
Great.
Keep two tickets for us, too. I definitely want to be there.
Well, you were there last year, Joe. You're on the list again.
Who's your keynote speaker this year? We had the fellow that is the state representative last year.
Right. It's this year. It's not locked in yet.
Okay.
I don't want to say. Hopefully within 24 hours we know, but we'll know. But it's from a prominent statewide tech-oriented group that advocates for tech issues.
Okay.
Within the field is well known. I don't know if your average listener will know who it is, but it's a good speaker for this kind of event.
Yep. Because I know last year we ended at the Pottery Works, I guess. What's it called?
The Stengel Stage.
Yeah. And it was almost overflowed. It was some good food. It was some good company. The mayors of various towns were there and other dignitaries. And it was just fun to watch. I mean, the first guy got up, I still remember it. He had a thing that if you scanned your, if you entered your number into your little Alexa of your prescription number, the UPC number, it read you all the products that were in it and what the side effects were. I mean, it was just such neat things that
there,
came up.
There really are some great ideas. So I'll make this pitch to your audience. Not only is the hackathon for technologists, the hackathon is a gold mine because they meet other people. Networking is extremely important to this group. They need to find people to work with. And for a lot of people, it's also a resume builder. So a lot of folks, maybe 35, 40, 45, are finding second careers in tech.
Right.
So what happens is they learn how to code. They learn some of these other ancillary skills, but they don't have a strictly tech resume.
Right.
So what they do is they'll go and they'll participate in these hackathons, and those are actual resume builders. So it's also a chance to build your credential.
Okay.
But there's also some pretty darn good prizes. So the winning team this year will get a $5,000, will split $5,000 cash prize. Second place team, $3,000. Third place team, $2,000. And then there'll be a lot of side events. Like last year, if you might remember, Joe, we gave away some brand new gaming systems worth $300 to $500 to people that we designated as most valuable hacker, best newcomer, things like that. So we'll end up probably giving away between $12,000 to $15,000 in prizes, and that's actually pretty lucrative for one of these things. So if anyone out there is interested in registering or knows someone who would be interested in this event, please tell them. Registration is open at hackhunterdon.com. You can also follow on hackhunterdon on the Facebook page and hackhunterdon on Instagram.
Okay.
And you can also, that number that I dialed that I mentioned earlier, my number, 908-399-1108. You can also call that with questions. But yeah, we really want to have a lot of folks involved in this one. Now, you do have to be, when I say if you know someone who's interested, obviously it has to be someone who has some kind of technological skill. You know, usually it's a coder or a software designer, or at least somebody with skills in these areas. But we've got a lot of those people here in Hunterdon County that are looking for somewhere to plug in, and this is a great place to do it at.
I know we were there last year, and the energy in the room was amazing. It was amazing because Marilyn said, I don't know what we're going to, and she was so into it.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'll be excited to come back this year. We developed last year very good visibility for what we were doing, and this year we should just springboard off it and go forward. So I hope you do get the attendance. So if you'd like a seat, give Mark a call at the number. We'll repeat it a couple of more times, but it's 908-399-1108.
And of course, just
the website.
More information, hackhunterdon.com.
Hackhunterdon.com. And, you know, the word hack has connotations to people who aren't in the industry, but hack is really not a bad term anymore.
It's not in the technology circles. As a matter of fact, I think Facebook's address is actually like one hacker way or something like that.
I think you're right.
Technologists have kind of made it their own, so it does not have that negative insinuation within that community.
Wow. And it's exciting that we're bringing this kind of talent into Flemington and into Hunterdon County, and hopefully some of it will stick to the walls, which is our goal. But there's other things happening, like the tourism thing. Tell me about that. That sounds fabulous.
And let me make one more point about the hackathon. The other neat thing you said about bringing people into the county, one of the places this effort has been an overwhelming success is people have heard about this effort and have contacted us. So people that can't believe we're doing a hackathon have contacted us and become involved in the effort. Viacom, senior execs at Cisco, Verizon's Emergent Technology Division, all these people have taken note of us because of the hackathon that may never have noticed us before and are saying, how can we be a part of helping you grow this effort? And so obviously, you know, it's hard to know how that's going to play out in terms of benefits yet, but you can't put a price tag on those kind of people paying attention to Hunterdon County.
So I agree.
Just wanted to add that piece.
That is fabulous. That is very good luck with it, and I definitely will be down there. So, tourism.
Yeah. So, I think when I was talking to your audience last time, one of the things I was talking about with tourism was that we didn't want to have a fragmented approach to addressing tourism.
Right.
It is an important part of Hunterdon County. We've got significant tourism assets. It's a great place to visit. And we certainly want to have a tourism initiative. But at least under this economic development effort, I did not want to do it the disservice of doing it part-time. So since I got here, one of the things I've been interested in exploring is, can we develop a viable full-time tourism effort?
Okay.
Because what this county doesn't need is us disrespecting tourism, so to speak, by the way the current system is. The county does it when it can.
Yep.
The chamber does it, and what it does well. But obviously, that's not the total focus of the chamber.
Right.
There's just too much here. We've got the extensive river towns. We've got the vineyards. We've got that whole active lifestyle. People come here to boat and canoe. There's the Jack Cuss Baseball Academy. There's the reservoir, and so on and so forth. There's just so many reasons to come here and spend money. And you that talk about other things you can't put a metric on. You can't put a metric on someone coming into your county and feeling good about it,
right,
and going back and telling the world. So to some extent, frankly, a well-run tourism effort acts as a de facto attraction and retention piece for a workforce and residents.
Okay.
You know, so we don't want to do it a disservice by doing it half, you know what.
Yep.
So one of the things we launched last year was a tourism study in conjunction with Stockton University. These folks do this kind of thing regularly. Their Levinson Institute is very well respected for this kind of work. And we engage with them on a three-phase tourism study, which does not cost Hunterdon County taxpayers anything because the Highlands, because they want to promote tourism within their region, they're paying for the entire thing.
Wow.
And phase one is now complete, and phase one is a look at the impact of the tourism industry so we can have a baseline.
Right.
And so it looked at the 10-year period ending in the most recent year for which there's data for, which is 2016. That is completed. That we're doing also in partnership. You know, the county wants to do things with as many partners as possible, so that one's also in conjunction with the Chamber of Commerce. And we're also doing it with Delaware River Towns, the Chamber and Visitor Center that covers the river area.
Yep.
Matter of fact, both sides of the river. So that effort, that first phase is complete, and there's some very interesting numbers in that first effort, in that first look. And this, the impact study isn't necessarily designed to draw inclusions, but if you look at the data, you can conclude certain things. Now, it's not public yet, so I can't talk about what's in it, but May 15th, it looks like Stockton's going to come in to the freeholder meeting, and they're going to go ahead and present their findings. And after that, we'll be able to talk in more detail. But there's some very interesting numbers in there that I think people will be interested in.
That's good to hear. That's good. And what about the branding effort? You were trying to get a whole branding effort wrapped around it, too.
Well, not necessarily just around the tourism effort, but what we wanted to do is we want to brand this economic development initiative, no matter what's under it, because we want to make sure that everyone understands that it – just getting back to that partnering point I made.
Yep.
This economic development initiative is in conjunction with the counties, it's in conjunction with the schools, our businesses, and the other development-oriented entities in this county. And no program we're running is not running in partnership with at least, with if not one, multiple of those that
okay.
I just mentioned. So to that extent, we really don't want to use the county seal to represent the effort because it's everybody's. And so this branding effort, which will be launched soon, just establishes a look and different look and feel and logo than the county to make sure it's understood that this is something different. It's a synergy of all
okay.
these things. So that new look and feel and logo and brand and everything will launch alongside with the new economic development website. I'm knocking on wood here. Hopefully we'll launch that in June. I'm looking at the beta version of the website on May 2nd.
That's pretty close. That's interesting.
And by then, phase two of the tourism study
right.
will be well underway. And that's really exciting, Joe, because what's happening is phase two is a visitor survey that Stockton's going to conduct over the course of this entire visitor season here across the county. We're going to know by the end of this who's coming to Hunterdon, from where, for what.
Okay.
And we're specifically, among all that data we're going to collect, we also want to track patterns. We want to know if somebody goes to Clinton, where are they going from there?
Right.
Are they just leaving the county? Do they know that they can go just down 513 and go to Frenchtown and do more stuff there?
Right.
If they do know that, are they doing it? Do they know along the way they can go to Bobolink Dairy? You know, we want to track migration patterns here so we know where we're leaving opportunity on the table. So at the end of phase two, we're going to have a lot of good information about how to maximize this effort based on what we're hearing from who comes here.
Okay. So now when you say Stockton, we're talking the town of Stockton. We're talking Stockton.
Stockton University, that does, that has the Levinson Institute that's helping us with this study.
Wonderful. Because since we talked last, I've gotten more involved in Somerset County, and I'm on their tourism board as well. And they're doing some interesting things as well. So our sister county, I think we can learn from, and I think our sister county, they're a few years ahead of us, whatever. They've got a stronger economy because they're closer to New York. But Hunterdon County definitely is on, I think, a roll as far as gaining momentum.
I'll tell you something. Here's something that, and again, you know, and your audience knows this, I think, already just from hearing me. You know, the problem with economic development is, like you said, exciting stuff's happening, but we can't always talk about everything.
Yep.
So sometimes we have to talk about generalities. But here's a generality I can share. There is a massive interest. Just in the 2 years I've been in here, there's a massive uptick in interest in the 7822 corridor.
Right.
So I know that can be a touchy subject with some people, because none of us want an overwhelming amount of development here.
Right.
You know, but there's a balance to be had. We want certain kind of development is appropriate for Hunterdon, which is one reason why we focus on tech. And we certainly need some of the things that we get from that development. We need the rateables, of course. Getting to the heart of what your show is about, we need that next wave of people that's going to be buying homes.
Absolutely.
We need the jobs that will provide that opportunity for new residents to come here, raise families, put people in the school system. So there's a balance to be had. So what we don't want is no option. If there's an overwhelming amount of interest in that corridor, at least then we're in a position to pick and choose opportunities that work for us, because nothing's worse than no options.
Right.
So right now, nothing's happening that makes communities have to take any kind of development they're not interested in, but at least if there's something they think's reasonable and appropriate for that particular community, those chances to find that development is appropriate for them, it's becoming more and more common every week.
So. Well, it's interesting because I took you up on your suggestion when we last had breakfast, and I went and I had breakfast with John Higgins, and we talked about, he's the mayor of Clinton Township, for those who may not know, and we talked about that 7822 corridor effort and how well it was working. And I said, John, get me involved, even if it's just to observe and advise. But we also talked about what else was happening as far as affordable housing. And it blew my mind what he's got on the table.
Yeah.
I mean, there's free approved affordable housing in Clinton Township already, and a fourth that's going to be a mega thing up in north of the Annandale. And he said, go talk to Janice, and then let's get together on your show. So Janice is the mayor of Clinton.
Yeah.
I talked to Janice a little bit. We've yet to get together, but we meet on a street corner about once a week, and she's walking a dog, and I'm taking a walk. And it sounds like Clinton has got a lot going on. So one of the things that's been impeding real estate is entry-level development above the affordable housing level.
Right.
And it sounds like we're getting to a point where that impediment may be going away, that we're fulfilling our quota, and that we can start. And both of them told me about full, there's a project going on Mobus and Clinton, according to Janice, that'll be free market. And there's three quarters of the project that's going up on the farm above the Annandale will be free market. And that's exciting, because what we don't have is what happened in the late 90s, early 2000s, are $200,000 and $300,000 townhouses and condos coming up. That's what we need.
Right.
We're not building them anymore. Haven't built them in 20 years. We need to build them again, and people will come, because that's where we can't find enough inventory.
It's hard to have a diverse economy if you don't have a diverse housing stock. It's really that simple.
Right.
Yeah, and the realtors, of course, know that better than anybody. Some variation is needed. Obviously, from the county's perspective, though, even though I personally agree with a lot of things you're saying, and I certainly think if nothing else, we need starter housing, right?
Exactly.
So that if one of our recent grads goes to Princeton, gets an IT degree, gets a great first job for $75,000, that's still not necessarily enough to live in Hunterdon, or at least for a lot of people like that to live in Hunterdon. If we want to talk about bringing our kids back, They got to be able to live somewhere.
Yep.
However, the county definitely, I don't poke my nose in what I consider to quote kind of be the ultimate home rule issue, which is housing. So if a community calls me and they invite me into a conversation about housing within their community, I'm more than happy to help.
Right.
That hasn't happened, though, and I don't expect it to happen.
Well, it's interesting because the rule of thumb is if you earn $50,000, all you can afford to spend is $1,250 a month, be it rent or mortgage. You can't get either in Hunterdon County for that price. So you have to make more, and it's not that hard to make more, but bringing more jobs in makes it easier to make more. And then when you get two people together, they can earn more and buy into the housing. But I did. I was doing a rent versus buy study on the air about, I guess it must have been February, and I looked up the apartments under $1,500 in Hunterdon County, and there was only like seven in the whole county.
I have one.
And you have one.
Yeah. I have one of those.
So we're in a changing environment. It's like that scene in Animal House where the parade marched into the wall, didn't make the last right, where the baby boomers aren't buying the last big house. They're staying put till they retire. So they're in a way. They're not selling the house that the next level down can buy, and that's part of the housing shortage. And secondly, we don't have any entry level. So we don't have those $200,000 and $300,000 entry levels that people making $50,000 to $75,000 could probably buy. And it's not just us. If we go over to Somerset County, the problem's even worse. You cannot find a house in Bridgewater. There's nothing, absolutely nothing. And their prices are 20% higher. So they've even got it up into the fives. So it's a problem that needs to be resolved, and I think it will be resolved. You say it, John Maddox says it, jobs. If we bring jobs, the rest will resolve itself. I argue a little bit that you can't bring jobs if people want a place to live, but it's a endless cycle and one leads to another.
It's an endless cycle, but the place that an economic development effort or a chamber, et cetera, can have impact is on the job side. There's only so much we can or really reasonably could even think about getting involved with, as I said before, on the housing side. So we'll try to retain and attract the jobs or create the environment where those can thrive, and hopefully the rest of the pieces fall in place, like you said. So
while we're on the jobs, everybody wants to know what's happening with the old Merck site.
Right, right.
I mean, I've been reading good news, but it sounds like it's still in the works.
Still in the works. And as much as I thought when this story first broke it would get like wildfire around the county, I'm finding not everybody knows it yet. So here's what already went public. This much I can say. If it hadn't gone public, I couldn't say it here, but late last year, Reddington did go ahead and say publicly that a company called Unicom Global is in negotiations with Merck to buy the former Merck headquarters in White House Station. That is true, of course, and continues to be true. They have not closed, but the project is not done. So nothing has really changed since that first announcement. They're still negotiating. I wouldn't be able to say, but frankly, I don't know how it will work out. I can say this. I have had conversations with Unicom VPs. I've spoken with them probably a total of, I probably spent 10 to 20 hours on the phone with them at this point. And what I do feel is this, that if they land here, and that's still an if, as we know. We're all holding our breath. If they land here, it would be an incredible opportunity for Hunterdon. Right. Not only are we talking about the Merck facility being utilized, which we don't even need to go into the reasons why that's beneficial, but we're talking about a global IT company and the resources and the impact and the influence that they bring to the table, and the fact that they augment what we're trying to do here so well, since one of the models and central pieces of this economic development effort that's moving forward is growing the tech initiative, the tech industry, be it the workforce and the culture, which things like the meetup and the hackathon are addressing, or the number of jobs itself, or the influence on career pathways with the kids and the tie-in with Hunterdon Central. No matter what part of it you're looking at, that piece is central to what we're trying to do here. Why? Because it fits Hunterdon County. It's the combination of high tech is high wage and small footprint.
Yep.
So it doesn't impact the beauty of the environment here, but it does provide the kind of wages that allow people to live here. So landing a company like that adds so much of that momentum. And from my conversations with Unicom, I'm even more excited than even those pieces would indicate, because they also seem like the kind of company that would really want to help us succeed in our goals. So I think if we're fortunate enough to have them land here, we sort of get a cherry on top scenario too. We get all the obvious goodies that come along with it, but we also get what looks like to be hopefully a very good corporate citizen.
So how many people at the peak did Merck have here? Do you have any idea?
I think, now remember, that was before my time, but I think somebody told me that number was about 2,000.
Yeah, because it's over a million square foot from what I understand.
Not quite.
Yeah.
It's the main ring facility that everyone's familiar with. It's just like 973,000 or something like that. It's almost there. But it's about 900-acre campus, too, and it's just so well located, being right there bordering Somerset and 78 and so on and so forth.
And as a person who onboards people in Hunterdon County, and I do about six families a year, real estate-wise, Tewksbury area, which is where that is where they want to be. It's the first nice spot in Hunterdon County. First spot they hit on 78 in Hunterdon County.
Well, it's in Reddington.
It's in Reddington, but it's the same exit. You just go south instead of north. So I don't want to take away from Reddington, because it is definitely Reddington. But to bring jobs in makes perfect sense. The question I've got is, will the amount of jobs they're bringing in will be what Merck used to have, or do you think it's going to be just a subset of that?
I have some idea on that at this point, as much as they have an idea or as much as they're willing to share with me. I mean, but that's definitely – I don't want to speak for the company on any of their plans.
That's fair.
Hopefully they close soon and they announce to the world what their intentions are. But if that happens – I think that folks are going to like what they hear.
That is wonderful. And,
absolutely.
You know, I sat for the luncheon last year that Exxon had, and it was exciting what Exxon is doing. I mean, they're bringing only 300 more people in, but they're all advanced degree positions, and it stopped 700 from leaving. So we have a total swing of about 1,000, 1,100 people.
Boy, that was massive.
Oh,
yeah. I'm not sure people outside of Clinton Township understand what a huge win that was for Hunterdon County.
Right.
And you mentioned Mayor Higgins previously. I think the county can't thank Mayor Higgins and Clinton Township enough for stepping up the plate to work to work with Exxon and getting that done.
But just the doctor that heads the whole research thing, he blew my mind that day. He said, you know, we're working on 40 years out. We're not working on stuff we need next year. We're not working on marketing ideas. We're working on saving the environment and taking those cracked, what do they call them, cracker units where you see in Linden and that area where the smoke's coming up, and capturing all that emissions and making it environmental friendly. Not that we're going to build that here. That's what we're working on.
The R&D.
The R&D.
Yeah.
So it was an exciting talk, and I look forward to seeing that happening, because I didn't realize, John Higgins told me, that everything that Exxon does for Mobil 1 is done right here in Clinton Township. It's the not only the development, but the testing labs for the world. And that's a big product for Exxon.
It's such a feather in our cap that they're here.
Yeah.
That they have deemed this county worthy. In other words, what they're saying when they expand here is that we've got the quality of workforce and the quality of life that they need to be able to grow their own workforce. That's a huge compliment to the Hunterdon community.
So, we mentioned, too, what ones don't I know about?
I'm sorry,
what ones don't I know about? What else is happening out there workforce-wise that you can talk about, naturally?
Workforce-wise, I'm not sure I've got anything else to add at this time, but I will say that, again, getting back to the tech piece, there are so many... We anecdotally kind of knew that we had some brilliant and talented people out there prior to the launch of the tech initiative. But now they're coming out of the woodwork to be a part of what we're putting together. And I can say as a fact that we've got more talent in our backyard than I think most people realize. We've actually got more tech companies out there than people realize too. So I don't think there's a project that we could be up for that our workforce would fall short of what the company needs. And again, that Exxon R&D facility being here proves that.
Absolutely.
So the next step is just to make sure the emerging workforce, which is those students coming out of our schools,
right,
that we're not educating them just for export purposes, that we're providing, getting back to jobs, we're providing the kind of jobs that allows that next wave of workforce to be able to come back here,
right,
and ply their wares right here in Hunterdon County.
And I'll tell you, I was high tech when I came to Hunterdon County. I was in sales, but my job description was to be within 45 minutes of a major airport. We're in 45 minutes from Newark. I got on a plane every Monday and left, but I brought all the money back and spent it here in taxes and groceries and whatever. So you don't really need the jobs here. We'd like to have more here. But you're so close to everything else. It's a little tough to get to New York City, but we have about 4 or 5% of our people that do that every day. But just to get to Newark Airport and work for a technology company and to live out here, and I used to bring people to my house that were in from out of town, and they couldn't believe what we have out here. So, I mean, it's a beautiful spot.
Yeah.
And it's a great place to live. And every one of those 6 people that I bring into the county on an onboarding fashion each year are usually between a first and second child and just looking for a better quality of life.
There's this myth that young people don't want to live here because there's nothing to do. And I do understand that there's limited options.
You got to define young.
But even in the areas, even in the age ranges where it's indisputably young, there's more people coming here than people realize because not every... millennials are at this point, for example. Millennials, let's define what millennials are, because most people don't understand. Yep. Oldest millennials are turning 37, 38 now.
Yep.
The youngest ones are maybe 23, 24, depends on who's defining this study, but they're not current college students, and they're certainly not high school students. We're talking about people that are entering the workforce already or have been in it for 15 years, depending on which part of the generation.
Yep.
It's the biggest generation ever defined.
Yep.
So these broad, sweeping stereotypes about what they want are ridiculous. You can't do that with 80 million people. And besides, we only need to capture so many of them.
Right.
We have an aging and declining population. All we want to do is reverse those trends. But no, I don't know that anyone necessarily wants us to grow from 125,000 to 225,000.
Right.
But we would like to have a young infusion of blood and maintain our numbers at the very least.
Right.
So you don't need all 80 million of them to buy what we're selling. So, the appeal of what we do have, the healthy outdoor lifestyle, while still having access to places like New York and Philadelphia, the river life, the whole farm-to-table thing that's so popular these days, there's a lot of things to offer here. I met a woman recently who works for CoStar, which is a giant property database that most people use here in New Jersey, whether they be Cushman Wakefield, local realtors.
More commercial than residential.
She is what a lot of us would define as young and hip.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's in her late 20s. Her and her husband, along with 2 other couples, they all had jobs in New York, high-stress jobs in New York, in finance and things like that. And they all decided to leave that and come here to Hunterdon. And so it's 3 young couples that understood that, we want what Hunterdon has to offer. And they adapted their lives to be able to accommodate this environment because it was worth it for them. And that's just people that I ran across. It's happening every day.
Right.
So we do have an appeal. And we do need certain things to happen that increase that appeal. I mean, it wouldn't be bad, for example, Joe, I don't know how people feel about it, but I would like us to have a movie theater, for example.
Yeah.
I think it's ridiculous we have to leave the county to see a movie.
Yeah.
So it's not like we can't add to that, but this idea that we're starting with nothing, I find incorrect. We do have the ability to draw, but we got to have the jobs, we got to have a place for those folks to live.
Right. And the bucolic nature of the county, I think, leads to the lifestyle that people like you just mentioned want. Not everybody. I mean, some people want to be in a city. That's fine. Go, come back when you're ready. But when you're ready, we've got the lifestyle that you're looking for. It's why we've moved here. I mean, we looked probably for 5 years before we decided where, and we first lived in Clinton Township, and we've lived, of the 20 years I've been here, we've been about 17 years in Clinton, just like 3 up in Tewksbury. It's a great place to live, and it's a place that I don't think I will leave. So we've got 3 minutes left. What haven't we talked about that's on your agenda?
Boy, there's a lot on my agenda. However, I probably exhaust the things that I can get into detail on now. I can kind of tease a little bit by saying one of the things I'd like to talk about when I come back later in the year is we've got projects going with a couple school districts that feed into what we're talking about. They're basically projects that expose the students to career pathways in tech, connect business with school more, which is something most people are interested in, the school districts themselves are interested in, and provide sort of creative learning environments for the students while keeping them tied to some of these, while tying them to some of these opportunities with local companies, hopefully. So they're really interesting projects. Both of there's some moving forward in some of the schools to the north of Flemington area.
Okay.
And they will probably play out over the course of the summer, and I'm hoping early fall I'll be able to come back in here and talk about some of those.
Great.
And we can also at that time also tie in what the benefits that 100 Central received out of the upcoming hackathon on June 9th and 10th, and maybe some new programs that spawned out of that. So we might even be able to have sort of a whole show on how the Economic Development Initiative is immersed in the school districts by that
point. Let's make it a September date. We'll get everything back on the table and get some people moved in.
Yeah, well, maybe we even bring in a superintendent or something with me.
Yeah, so. Who's the superintendent at North now?
Jeff Bender.
Okay, what happened to Rich? Was there?
Not sure. Okay. That was prior to me. I think he just retired. So
that might have been it, because I had met him and worked with him when I was in the Leadership 100 program. It's been great having you. Mark, your number once again is 908-399-1108 if anybody would like to talk to Mark directly, and he's easy to talk to. My name's Joe Peters. I'm going to play my commercial one more time, so all my contact information.
Can I get a commercial done up too for you guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, now it's an exciting time. I think we're turning a corner, but I think we've still got some distance to go.
Mm-hmm.
But it's people like Mark who are making it happen, and it's... If I hadn't met Mark, by this point, I'd have probably been saying to myself, am I in a Wright County? But after meeting Mark, I'm convinced I'm in a Wright County because it looks like we're dedicated to making it work. So thank you for being here.
Thanks very much for the opportunity.
I'll play my commercial one more time, and we'll have our next show on in about 4 minutes.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News.
Earlier today, President Donald Trump held a joint press conference with French President Emmanuel Macron. One of the things discussed was Syria.
Emmanuel and myself have discussed the fact that we don't want to give Iran open season to the Mediterranean, especially since we really control it to a large extent. We really have controlled it and we've set control on it. So we'll see what happens. But we're going to be coming home relatively soon. We've finished at least almost our work with respect to ISIS in Syria, ISIS in Iraq.
Arizona's 8th Congressional District hasn't had a U.S. representative since December 16th. but that's about to change after today's special election. Republican Debbie Lesko is facing off against Democrat Dr. Hiral Tippernanny in the seat that was held by Representative Trent Franks, a Republican, who resigned after reports of sexual misconduct. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency